Hi there, a very warm welcome to The Sweet Spot. It's a special edition. The Open Championship takes place at Royal Liverpool from Thursday to Sunday. And I'm Bruce Millington, delighted to be joined as ever by Steve Palmer to find out who he fancies for the great tournament. Before we do that, we'll look back on last week. We've also got another tournament, the Barracuda Championship. Don't forget, if you enjoy the show, please do comment, subscribe, like and share. Let us know who you fancy to win at Hoylake this week. Steve, before we look ahead, let's look back to last week. An eventful and successful week. Better start with the Scottish Open. Superb by Rory McIlroy. Another heartbreaker for Bobby McIntyre. Brilliant tournament, I thought. Really, really compelling stuff all week. And the main man, do you know what? I think Rory McIlroy, for all that, you know, other people might be higher on the rankings or whatever, but I think Rory McIlroy right now is the king of golf, don't you?
When he's in full flow, there's nothing like it, is it? And he played those last few holes incredibly well because they were playing so difficult. 17 and 18, he played perfectly. And you know, poor old Bobby McIntyre must have thought he'd at least going to get a crack at a playoff. I just thought the performances of McIlroy and McIntyre on that last hole were incredible. I mean, McIntyre hit the shot of the year for me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was outrageous.
He has a perfect three-wood from a terrible position, terrible angle, and to set up that final hole birdie. And then, he's virtually in tears, isn't he, as he's wandering off. But he did wisely say it's not over yet because there was sort of celebration starting, wasn't there? Because everyone knew how hard those closing holes were. But then, yeah, then McIlroy's two iron at the 18th. You know, I could talk about this all day long. I thought those two deserved hearty pats on the back, really. Great golf.
It really was. So well done if you back McIlroy. It wasn't easy. It sometimes is with Rory, but not always. He can throw in a bad shot every so often. But Rory McIlroy won. Hopefully McIntyre's done his Ryder Cup prospects no end of good. Quick word on Scheffler. We'll talk about all the big players, obviously, this week. But, I mean, Scheffler, that putter, I don't know, he must keep it in the freezer, mustn't he? I mean, if he could putt, he'd be winning everything by half the track, wouldn't he? Are you holding fire on Scheffler comments, or do you want to...
Yeah, we'll talk about him when the time comes. Okay. But you're absolutely right. I think frustration levels are reaching fever pitch, whatever that means.
Absolutely. And congratulations are in order to you, Steve, because your main selection for the Barbasol Championship, Vincent Norman, he won. we talk about never easy. Goodness me, that was outrageous, wasn't it? He had the lead going down the last and then played it like Van der Velde, didn't he? What was he doing?
he was so positive all the way around, and his driver was his best club, and his driving was absolutely amazing. But on that final hole with the lead, he thought, right, three wood, you know, careful, play out to the left, avoid the water on the right. And then, yeah, just got a bit tentative. And then, then it turned into a late night from there, didn't it? I mean, I could have done with an early night. And there we were in the early hours of the morning. But, he got the job done in the end, old Vincent. And, it's another one to add to our European Ryder Cup team. I mean, can you imagine Vincent Norman and Ludvig Åberg combining? You know, those two, two of the best drivers in the world, those two. We obviously need 50 players on that European Ryder Cup team. But, yeah, good fun.
Well done. A great winner. And, of course, Norman beat a little-known Englishman called Nathan Kimsey in the playoff. Tell us all about him.
Well, yeah. Kimsey had a lot of fun out there. And, the strategic alliance was shown. This is all that strategic. You know, you had half the field were sort of DP World Tour regulars. And it's a great opportunity for them to get a PGA Tour card. And, we've got another one this week. You know, the Barracuda Championship, which we'll come to. You know, all the DP World Tour regulars are in that one.
Absolutely. And the other tournament, of course, was the Seniors PGA Championship, sponsored by...
Cawley Companies. Exactly. Cawley Companies.
At Cawley Companies. And different names, same old outcome. Steve's Tricker wins again. He's phenomenal, isn't he? I mean, domination in, it's like Tiger Woods days, isn't it?
He's absolutely relentless. And perhaps we need to learn our lesson now, because we had it as a Sink versus Stricker match. Went for the bigger prize about Sink, but 5-2 Stricker was probably perfectly fair. Sink was four shots clear at the halfway stage. I was quite really excited. He was four shots clear of Stricker and then ends up losing by seven to Stricker. So we have to respect Steve Stricker. He's just evergreen, isn't he?
And my all-time favorite golfer, David Tom's, got second place. Good old DT. Right then. Anything else we need to say in the recap, or should we march straight ahead with the big one?
We can have a little moan about Grant Forrest finishing 11th on his own if we want, but maybe we should just move on.
Yeah, bad luck.
But we had top 20 bets. Yeah, we had top 20 bets.
Onwards and upwards.
I think we should. Yeah, we've got to. Yeah, let's really go for it.
Exactly. It's the Open Championship. Like I say, it takes place at Royal Liverpool on the Wirral. Starts Thursday through to Sunday. Here are the latest prices. Rory McIlroy favourite at 7-1. It's 8-1 Scotty Scheffler, 14 John Rahm, 18 Cam Smith, 25 Brooks Koepka, Victor Hovland, Tyrrell Hatton, Ricky Fowler, Tommy Fleetwood and Patrick Cantlay, 30 Schauffele and Lowry, 33 bars. Shop around as always for best prices and most place terms and, of course, the fraction. I've seen one bookmaker offering 12 places, but at a ninth the odds. You do need to know about those things. Okay then, right, Steve, tell us all about Royal Liverpool.
You do need to know about these things, and Grant Forrest would have obliged for if you had 12 places last week. But loads of fantastic each-way terms, fantastic tournament, fantastic golf course, new and improved this year.
Is it fantastic in a Lynx context, do you mean, or just...
I thoroughly enjoyed my two trips to Royal Liverpool and very, very contrasting weeks. So we're in Hoylake, Merseyside, 7,383 yards now. Par 71 was previously a par 72 for the 2006 and 2014 edition. So we've only got three par fives now. It's hosted 12 Opens, but punters only need to focus on the two most recent ones, 2006, 2014. Tiger Woods won the 2006 edition in bone dry conditions. You know, it's sweltering hot there. He hit just one driver all week long. It was irons off the tee for Tiger. And then in 2014, conditions completely different, much softer. I remember being in the media center with the rain just hammering the media center as Rory McIlroy did his conference on the Saturday. Got very lucky. Rory came in just before the rains descended and he topped the driving distance statistics that week, Rory McIlroy. So as we say on this podcast many times, more than one way to skin a cat. Very strange expression, because I actually think there's only one way to skin a cat, but we won't get into that. you just take the skin with a knife. How else are you going to do it? But I think we're going to get a happy medium this time between those two. I think it's not going to be too fast. It's not going to be too soft. We've got a mixture of sunshine and showers in the forecast and some breezy afternoons.
How many runners? not selections.
Runners. 156.
That's it. Right. And before you tell us brackets again, how many selections you've got? The weather, we'll talk about that, because the forecast is just sort of okay, I would say, really. As you've touched upon there, it's going to be a bit wet. There'll be a bit of sunshine. It won't be particularly warm. It won't be particularly windy. It doesn't look like there's any great bias. It's just sort of okay. And probably, I would say, Steve, conducive to fairly low scoring.
I think it's delightful in the current climate, if you pardon the pun. I mean, you know, obviously we're worried about weather all over the world, didn't we, in the extremities. It's going to be lovely, classic British summer weather, coolish, around the 18C mark at best, and a little bit of light rain and a little bit of sun. Yes, it's going to be lovely. But we have moderate breezes Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon. I don't think it's going to be easy. I mean, you're alluding to it being quite easy, are you?
Well, I think, possibly. I don't know. I ask the questions, but it just seemed, we'll put it this way, it seemed to me that the weather wasn't going to absolutely derail anybody or turn it into that Carnoustie horror show of a few years ago.
I certainly agree with that. I think if you get to double figures under par, you've got a chance of winning the jug. I think about 13 under is going to win it.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm. I think the current bookmaker projections are for it to be even lower than that. Right then, you had one go at saying how many selections you've got. Pretty feeble. We'll have another go. How many selections do you open this week, Steve?
Four!
Good man. Four selections. Is there a clue to your main selection in your apparel? Why are you wearing red?
Spanish red. John Rahm, 12-1, who sensibly, in my eyes, took last week off. I'm not convinced the Renaissance Club was ideal preparation for an Open Championship. It's not a pure links test. And the tournament turned into a pretty draining experience over the weekend. Yeah, on both Saturday and Sunday, the players had to get up in the early hours of the morning to prepare for their rounds. The tee times were shunted dramatically forward. So early start, strong winds. I just think a lot of players invested too much last week in the Scottish Open. I think Rory McIlroy would have woken up yesterday morning pretty knackered. And you don't want to be knackered entering Open week. It's a circus. It's exhausting just being there, let alone playing in the tournament. We've got some rain in the forecast this week. We've got some breeze in the forecast. I think the freshness of John Rahm will be rewarded over the days to come. Rahm was in Ireland last week. He was playing links golf over in Ireland. He was at Ballybunion for much of it. That's a proven formula for open success. Tiger Woods used to do the same. He used to head over to Ireland. Yeah, you can get up when you want. You can play in the conditions that you want. You know, you don't want your swing getting battered in strong winds. You can lose your technique. And, you know, Rahm's preparation for me is perfect. He's got that links practice in without tiring himself out and without threatening his swing. Rahm, superb links golfer. He's twice won the Irish Open on links terrain, at Port Stewart in 2017 and then at Lahinch in 2019. The first of those wins was by 6 shots. And then he slowly but surely become an open contender. He was 11th in 2019, 3rd in 2021, 2-time major champion now. I can easily see him following his Masters victory in April with the Claret Jug. You know, Rahm, for me, is as likely a winner of this tournament as anyone. But he's got two players ahead of him. He's a much bigger prize than those two. And bear in mind, he's won 4 times on the PGA Tour this year. Scheffler's won twice. McIlroy's won once.
Because there was a big three in the market pretty much all year, wasn't there, Steve? And all of a sudden, there's a little gap between him and the other two, which
you're going to exploit
that, are you?
Yeah, I think the market's overreacting to recent stuff. I think Rahm is ready for this. You know, Tiger Woods did the Masters Open double in 2005. Marco Mira did it. Remember that in 1998?
Yeah,
Who would have thought it? Nick Faldo did it in 1990. So I think it does happen. It will happen.
Okay. I played Ballybunion once, and I tell you, talking about having swing blown, of course, it was in about October. It was the wettest, coldest day of all time and the most miserable experience I've ever had on a golf course. It was impossible. It was absolutely impossible.
Rahm wouldn't have played. Yeah, if he woke up in Ballybunion and the weather was terrible, he wouldn't have bothered. You know,
that was just an aside, Steve. I wasn't trying to say it to besmirch your case.
No.
Since you mentioned Ballybunion, I thought I'd irrelevantly mention it, but goodness, it was awful. It was really. And when I came back to England, everyone's like, "Oh, you played Ballybunion? Oh, you lucky sod! It must have been amazing." I was like, Anyway, I'm sure he had much nicer experience at Ballybunion.
He did.
Right then, so John Rahm is Steve's main selection for the Open. Who's your number two tip?
It's Brooks Koepka at 20-1. A 5-time major champion. Only 14 players in the history of golf have won more majors than Brooks Koepka. And he's probably got more in him. He's only 33 years old. He's got his fitness back. I can't think of a good reason why Koepka won't be in contention on Sunday for a 6th major title. He's been producing some of the best golf of his life. As soon as he got fully fit again, he knuckled down with his coach, Claude Harmon. He won LIV Golf Orlando at the start of April. Then he finished runner-up to Rahm in the Masters. Then he won the USPGA in May. He was 17th in the US Open on a course he hated. He's been a leaderboard regular on the LIV circuit. And his Open record is rock solid. 10th in 2015, 6th in 2017, 4th in 2019, 6th in 2021. 4 top 10s in his last 6 Opens. And 67th at Hoylake in 2014 was just a useful sighter for him. You know, he was world number 80, remember, back then. He was a PGA Tour maiden. He was a DP World Tour maiden. Don't be put off by that finish of 67th at Hoylake. He's a completely different animal now. I think we could get the same 1-2 that we had at Augusta in April. And the icing on the Koepka cake is his caddy, you know, Ricky Elliott, a brilliant links golfer in his own right. You know, when he was growing up, he was a Royal Portrush man. Graham McDowell said he's one of the best players he's ever seen. So they're a formidable partnership on links terrain, Koepka and Ricky Elliott.
Sorry,
I was just going to say, don't worry. I could sense you're perhaps worrying about Jenna Sims or Jenna.
I'm not worried about her.
Kepka's got a pregnant wife, you see. Kepka's got a pregnant wife, and I was a little bit worried about maybe a birth might derail his Open challenge. But she's only 7 months pregnant. I can tell you, the Koepka baby will not be coming out you know, he's just really excited about being a dad, apparently. He's riding the crest of the wave. You must see him smiling more than you've ever seen him smiling. Have you noticed that?
I only ever see him on a golf course when he looks quite earnest. I mean, has he got his own YouTube channel or something?
I've seen him at ice hockey games. Yeah, he just couldn't be happier. And and Jenna says that he's just so looking forward to being a dad. Yeah, there's just positive vibes.
Because he was such a grumpy sod, wasn't he, in his full swing episode, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Do you remember she'd be dancing around him like, so do you like this bikini or that bikini? Which one do you like best? And he just couldn't be less interested. He just wanted to sit with his dog, didn't he?
He did, and he just wanted to win. He lives for winning golf tournaments, and now he is. He's happy again, and he's amazingly, he's sort of like the guy that's brought PGA Tour and Liv together. You know, he was the one. You know, he had practice rounds with Rory McIlroy, and you look on Getty Images or whoever you want to look and look at pictures of Cook. He's smiling more than ever.
Okay,
yeah, he's bringing all the players back together. Amazingly, to think that he'd be the one to do that. But
that would be nice, wouldn't it? When a golfer wins a tournament, sometimes their wife or their children come on, which is always very lovely. But imagine a winning golfer brought their dog onto the green. Wouldn't that be brilliant?
That would be nice. Yeah. The greenkeeper wouldn't be too happy, I guess. But so he's a happy man. And he's playing the best golf of his life. I mean, I got two really solid bets there.
Yeah, you make very strong cases for John Rahm and Brooks Koepka. There are two other tips. Who's the first of them?
It is Dustin Johnson at 30-1. The third of my tips who took last week off. I think a week off is what you need before the Open. I think my boys are going to get stronger as the week wears on. This is another LIV Golf star. And he's always looked a good enough links golfer to win the Claret Duggar as Johnson. He's got seven top 15s in the Open from 13 starts. He was second in 2011. And in the last two Opens, he's finished eighth and sixth. At Hoylake in 2014, he finished 12th. He carded a 65 in round two. That's a share of the course record. And we know he's got the minerals for winning majors. Two-time major champion, 2016 US Open, 2020 Masters. Last time out in the US Open was the key for me. Seriously encouraging ball striking display. Finished 10th at LACC. That followed his victory at LIV Golf Tulsa. He was fifth in LIV Golf London last time out. So, yeah, if DJ's been applying himself, which I think he will have done, he must be well up for this. I was a bit concerned. You probably saw the pictures of him and Paulina in France, did you?
We have slightly different lives, Steve.
Well, he was partying with Paulina in France last week, but I'm assured it was a mini break. It was a mini break. And he was practicing at Hoylake yesterday. It's a huge carrot for him. Yeah, my top three tips here are all, if they win this week, they'll only be one leg away from the career Grand Slam.
Goodness me.
Rahm, Koepka and Johnson. So I think that I've got three massively motivated alpha males going for me this week.
Wonderful. And we've got a fourth tip. Can I have a clue who the fourth tip is, please, while you're rubbing your breasts?
I was going on about alpha males and rubbing my breasts. I don't know what went on there. Sorry, what was the question?
Can I have a clue as to your fourth tip?
A clue.
Yeah, what's their nationality?
He's Australian.
Minwoo Lee.
No, it's not Minwoo Lee. I mean, I think it's feasible that Minwoo Lee could win the Claret Jug this week, but it's not Minwoo Lee.
Mark Leishman.
It's not Mark Leishman.
Okay. Adam Scott.
Not in it, Mark Lee. Yes, well done.
Adam Scott, there you go.
Well done. Well done.
Tell us why.
That was good fun.
Well,
this is fascinating because he's a former world number one. All four of my tips for this Open are former world number ones who have already won a major. Adam Scott's the best outsider for me. I was toying with Ryan Fox, who plays links golf really well, but when I saw Fox and Scott are exactly the same price, both 80-1, I was thinking, blimey, yeah, that is an easy decision. You know, Scott had the Open title at his Mercy in 2012. Do you remember that one? Closed with four consecutive bogeys. Ernie Els pipped him at Muirfield. So he's had one hand on the Claret Jug as Adam Scott. Then he became a major champion at Augusta the following year. He did well to recover from that Muirfield late debacle. But then he kept threatening the jug from there. He was third in 2013, fifth in 2014 at Hoylake, 10th in 2015. He's got five open top tens on his record, and two of them have come at Hoylake because he was eighth in the 2006 edition. So Scott, proven links performer, proven open performer, proven Hoylake performer, and in superb nick. He was fifth in the Wells Fargo in May, elevated, then eighth in the Byron Nelson, 29th in the USPGA, ninth in the Memorial, 19th in the Travelers, elevated, and last week's Scottish Open. Yeah, he missed the cut by a shot. Don't worry about it. It's just one hole. He took eight shots at the 16th in round one. Found some ugly lies. It all went wrong. Second round, 67, missed the cut by a shot. You know, Scott is playing really well. He's only just turned 43. And the putting, yeah, the reason that I often avoid Adam Scott has been the putting. He's putting really efficiently with the broom handle.
He's still got the silly long putt with his elbows sticking out everywhere. It just looks crap, that, doesn't it?
It doesn't look great. It's working, Bruce. It's working. You know, 23rd on the PGA Tour putting average stats.
Oh, fair enough. You can't quibble with that, can you?
You can't quibble with that. He's 80-1. He's great each way value. He's the best outsider. And that's as far as I'm going with outsiders, because, you know, you don't get shock open winners. You don't get shock major winners these days. You know, go. You just don't. I mean, when's the last time you were shocked by an open winner? I would suggest you have to go back to 2011. And even then, I wasn't even shocked. Darren Clark won that one. At 200.
Sean McKeel, that shocked me.
That shocked you. That was a long, USPGA long. Yeah, we're going a long way back. Okay, 2003. Yeah,
so Ben Curtis's and the Todd Hamilton's this world, you just don't think they happen anymore?
No, I don't think they do. I think Darren Clark 2011 Open was the last sort of shock Open winner you had. And I think Phil Mickelson, USPGA at 100 years old, where he was the last shock major winner we had. Okay. I think the players just, the elite get themselves so ready for these days. So, yeah, 80-1 is as far as I can go, I'm afraid.
Okay, tell us what you don't like about McIlroy and Scheffler.
I mean, McIlroy, yeah, the parallels between April and now are just stark for me. You know, he was playing great coming into the Masters. He's playing great coming into this. We all saw what happened at the Masters. Yeah, the pressure of ending this victory, the majors victory drought, is so enormous. It's getting on for a decade now. He was talking a really good game before the Masters, and I was convinced he was in a good place mentally. He's talking a really good game now. I can't play at 7-1. I can't play. So I think last week just added more pressure, didn't it? Again, he's peaking potentially a week before the one he actually wants. I'd rather take the bigger odds about Rahm. You know, 7-1 McIlroy, 12-1 Rahm is just so straightforward to me.
And Scheffler, just putting too badly.
Bubbling over with frustration now, I think. I mean, he should have a mantelpiece full of silverware from this year. He's only won two titles. Neither of them are majors. I think that the possibility of going through this major campaign, producing some of the best ball striking in the history of golf and not winning any of the majors. I think if he starts putting badly on Thursday, I think the head's going to come off. You know, he's a typically calm character, but you've seen signs lately of him getting a little bit antsy. Is that a word?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And I just think I think Thursday is crucial for Scheffler. If the putts don't drop again on Thursday, I think the head will come off. You know, bearing in mind, this is only his third open start. You know, he hasn't really served his apprenticeship, so to speak.
Equally, though, if he does start getting the knack of putting, he could absolutely run away with it, because his tee to green game is outrageous, isn't it? I mean, just phenomenal.
It really is. And I just think you don't get spells like this for long. You know, Tiger Woods is the only player that's produced this over a long period of time. You know, Scheffler could be hitting it sideways by the time the Masters comes around in April. Yeah, I think there's a real pressure on him to take advantage of this form. And, you know, the human brain is fallible. I think his head's going to come off.
Okay. Was there anyone else who got very close to forcing their way onto the list of tips?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, but when you're playing it, when you got a 12-1 shot in there, you can't have too many, can you?
I mean, okay, yeah, so who else was on the short list?
I mean, Tommy Fleetwood, obviously a huge opportunity for Tommy Fleetwood, but, you know, never won a major. You know, that in itself is he's 20-1, Tommy Fleetwood. I think he's got a great chance, but I can't see him holding it together against these former world number one alpha males that I'm talking about. Victor Hovland's got a good chance. Shane Lowry's got a good chance. Cameron Smith, so close to selection until I saw that he was a shorter price than Koepka. I can't have Smith as a more likely winner than Koepka, but I greatly respect the defending champion. Yeah.
Can I ask you about someone, Steve, who I've got my eye on at a big price? And he's the guy who's been winning left, right, and centre on LIV. He's a decent enough player, not a huge name, and it's Taylor Gooch. What sort of chance to give him? I know his Open record and his majors record aren't brilliant, but it just seems progressive. And I think those, you know, it's easy to scoff at LIV wins, but they are, he is beating a lot of elite golfers quite regularly.
Yeah, sure. I'm not going to scoff. I mean, he's made the cut in both his Opens, hasn't he? He's not that bad a record.
So you wouldn't put me off entirely.
What price are you looking at there?
I think he's three figures on the exchanges.
Yeah. I can see him top 20-ing.
Okay, mate.
So, just not sure he's classy enough to win an Open yet, but we shall see. Ricky Fowler probably deserves a mention. Patrick Cantlay deserves a mention. It's obviously loads of players that have got a chance, but I love my four. I think they're going to hold themselves together best in down the stretch.
Nice one, mate. It's very exciting, isn't it? Wall-to-wall coverage. Absolutely brilliant. Can't wait for Open Week. And, of course, what a week it is, Steve, as well as the Open. We've got the fourth Ashes test. We've got the Tour de France reaching its climax. You don't like that, but I love it. And we've got the Women's World Cup. So, absolutely brilliant sporting week, I must say. Don't forget
the World Match Play Darts.
Absolutely. Van Gerwen's out already, isn't he?
Yeah, it's Dimitri Vandenberg's to lose now, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Okay. Anything else you like into, obviously, in Wednesday's Racing Post, we've got a supplement. Don't miss that. Absolutely packed with brilliant stuff, including, of course, Steve's essential guide to every single player. We don't want to suck all the juice out of that and give it away now, Steve, but is there a couple of maybe other tips on the derivative markets that you like?
Yeah, I mean, you know how much I love our sweet spotters, so I'm happy to give the best of the specials, if I may.
Okay, then. Away you go. How many are there?
I think the best of the, yeah, I'm giving the best special one.
Oh, okay.
You know, it'd be one.
That is
Ewan Ferguson for top debutant. Mm. 12-1 is the best I've seen so far. I mean, I was very tempted. I talked about not pushing further than the 80-1s. You can get sort of 300-1 about Ewan Ferguson, I believe. And it is tempting because he won the Boys Amateur Championship at Royal Liverpool in 2013. He won the final of that 10-9. He's an accurate 10-9, player.
Is that possible?
It's a 36-holder, isn't it?
Right, okay, fine.
He absolutely dominated that. Yeah, he obviously loves this course. He's accurate. He plays well in a breeze. You know, you remember that Qatar Masters that he won when it was howling? He's in great form. I think Ewan Ferguson is a lively outsider for this tournament. But he's an Open debutant. I can't quite get my head around him in winning the whole shooting match. But I'll be supporting him in loads of markets. And I think Top Scott. Well, Robert McIntyre's a tough opponent, isn't he? I think Ewan Ferguson, top debutant at 12-1 is probably the best of the specials. And then, as you say, in the pullout, I'll have loads of other options.
Yeah, check out the Racing Post on Wednesday. Essential stuff. Right then, is that a wrap for the Open? Should we move ahead?
Yeah. Let's have a clash at the Barracuda.
The Barracuda Championship, that starts on Thursday, and it's not a star-studded field, but it wasn't last week, and Steve still nailed the winner, and they still paid out at the exact odds that you took. It doesn't matter about the quality. Stephen Yeager, 16-1 favourite. Keith Mitchell and Taylor Pendrith, 18-1. Patrick Rogers, JJ Spawn, and Bo Hostler at 22-1. Vincent Norman, 25, along with Mark Hubbard. Ashkay Bhatia is 28. Justin Suh, 30. Nick Hardy, 30. 33 bar. So, not the star-studded list that we've got over at Royal Liverpool. But, as we always say, a winner is a winner. So tell us all about the course and then we'll get some selections.
Old Greenwood, Tahoe Mountain Golf Club, Truckee, California. 7,480 yards, par 71, 3 par 5s. We're at altitude. We've got a modified Stableford scoring system in play.
Have we? Oh,
you love them, don't you? Yeah, you love
them.
I don't mind them. Don't get me started on it, because I think an albatross is massively besmirched. I mean, how can an albatross only be 8 points when an eagle's 5?
Fair enough.
It makes me angry. Every time I wake up in the morning, I get angry about that.
Well, it's only worth one less in a stroke play event, though, isn't it?
Well, you've got an albatross is 8 points, eagle 5, birdie 2, par 0, bogey minus 1, double bogey or worse, minus 3. Okay. But it's a Jack Nicklaus design, hosted since 2020. And it's going to be loads of birdies out there. Sunny and warm, light breezes. 156 going to post.
Old Greenwood is an interesting name. It sounds like the sort of the veteran caddy master, doesn't it? Old Greenwood, he's over there. He'll sort you out. But, how many tips do we have this week, Steve?
Just the two.
Okay.
Just the two, which is what we had last week, didn't it? With when the Greyhound pulled out, so we only had two for the Barbasol.
Okay.
We're only going to have two for the Barracuda.
That was all we needed last week, or you needed last week. It was all your fine work. Okay. Who's the headliner for the Barracuda Championship?
I think Stefan, as I think he likes to be called, Stefan Jaeger. The market has corrected itself. When the opening shows came out,
it is Stefan, yeah. Pardon
Stefan
me.
Jaeger, yeah. When the opening shows came out, you had Keith Mitchell and Stefan Jaeger as joint favourites. But the market is right to make Jaeger favourite now. I mean, he's Mitchell's been pretty rubbish for 4 months, and he played in Scotland last week, which is not going to help him. Jaeger's made his last 9 cuts. He was 11th in the Byron Nelson, 24th in the Memorial, 9th in the Rocket Mortgage, 13th in the John Deere Classic last time out. Barracuda results of 42-22. I expect that improvement to continue. This is a prolific winner of low-grade events. He's won 6 times on the Korn Ferry Tour. The first of those victories was in California IA, which is where we are right now. In 2016, he carried a 30 under par total to win by 7 shots in an event in California. So, I think an overdue maiden PGA Tour title for Stefan.
Stefan Jaeger. Okay. And who's the other tip?
It's Nick Hardy. 45-1. Nick Hardy is out there. This is a 27-year-old I've been keeping a close eye on. I think he's got great potential. He won the Zurich Classic PGA Tour pairs event alongside Davis Riley in April. He's finished 14th and 20th in the last two US Opens. He was 21st in the John Deere Classic last time out. He was 13th on his Barracuda debut last year. So, two-pronged attack. Get your Jaeger bombs out. And then Nick Hardy is your backup.
Beautiful. Well done, Steve. Fantastic. Let's reiterate the tips. Who are the four for the Open Championship?
John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Adam Scott.
And the two for the Barracuda?
Stefan Jaeger, Nick Hardy.
Fantastic. Okay, Steve, well done. Thank you very much. I know you've got to go and beaver away on the pullout that appears in Wednesday's Racing Post. Don't miss that. And we will be back next week to review the Open and also look ahead to the 3M Championship. And what's the other one, Steve? I've forgotten.
Let me get my timetable out. The Evian. How could you forget the Evian Championship?
Oh, how could I forget?
Yeah, yeah. So we've got 3 tournaments next week, but no DP World Tour action.
Okay, matey. Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, Steve. Good luck for the Open with your tips. Good luck to whoever you're backing. Don't forget to let us know in the comments who you fancy. Thanks very much, as ever, to producer Will Carey. Back next Tuesday for another Sweet Spot.